Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It is now time for Inside Matters, Spiritual Talk, Healing Done Right, Spiritual Growth, 12-Step Indigo Meditation, and much, much more, hosted by Duchess and Jewels.
Hey. How you doing? It's Duchess. I'm here. That kind of caught me off guard. I mean, I was distracted doing something else, and all of a sudden I heard the intro just pop out of nowhere, and there I am trying to figure out what, but I'm here. I got it all together. How's everybody out there? How did you enjoy your Thanksgiving? I had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I went down to North Carolina to my daughter's place and had it with my daughter and her partner, Kathy. And my daughter's daughter, my granddaughter, drove in from Colorado. She's one of the chefs in the family. We have a number of them. And she did the whole entire Thanksgiving dinner, and it was really, really delicious. So thank you, Fasha, for Thanksgiving, and it was nice meeting Revan. What else is going on? Oh, the work. You know, I've been back to work, and I felt really, really, really horrible coming home from Thanksgiving dinner because my body just kind of locked into my seat. Excuse me. My body locked into my seat because I'm doing all of this extra pushing and tugging and shoving in that cold, cold, freezing warehouse at my job. And so it wasn't any fun driving back because a five-hour trip lasted me 8 hours in the freezing rain out there, bringing two little children back home from Thanksgiving dinner. But the babies kept me safe. 10-year-old grandson and my 8-year-old granddaughter, they kept me safe on the road. They kept me focused. They kept me engaged. And it was really, really, really a nice trip with them. It wasn't what I thought it would be, traveling with little people coming across, you know, driving a 5-hour trip that turned into 8 hours. But we made it. The other thing with this body stuff, I decided I'm going to start doing a little bit of yoga. Now, you know, most of yoga is just stretching, especially the beginning parts of yoga. It's mostly about stretching. And all I did was lay on the floor and do a little bit of stretching here and there. And that stuff was painful. So what that's telling me is that my body is totally out of whack, and I need to do some more stretching. And so if I can just get my brain hooked into a system, then perhaps I can do some stretching, yoga stretching postures every single morning to kind of get the blood circulating, the juices flowing. Because as we get older, we know how these joints lock up on us, but it's because we don't have enough circulation flowing through there. So I'm going to try my best to engage my body in some yoga stretches every morning. You know, with this winter suddenly hitting me, I'm really, really trying to think whether or not I'm going to retire from my job. I didn't think it would be as difficult as it has been for me to return, especially with the temperature in the facility. I'm finding that I'm having to clear my throat a lot more, and it's just not feeling right to me. So if anybody out there knows what I can do to clear this throat up, let me know. Contact me at duchessontheair@gmail.com and tell me what you think will be a good thing. You know, honey and lemon, some kind of something. Because if I'm going to continue this show, I have to be able to talk without this froggy thing and clearing my throat every 5-6 seconds. you would think I was still a smoker. Haven't smoked in many, many, many years. But something is going on here. You know, I do my countdown until spring, and we got 108 days to spring. So basically what that means is I'll be doing a lot of soups. I love soup, but I don't like soup that has a lot of chunky stuff in it. To me, that's more like a stew, like a watered-down stew, because you have the soupy, watery stuff, but you got all these chunks in there. So what I have started doing is, because I like my soups with vegetables in it, and I like my soups to be thick, what I've begun to do is blend or puree my vegetables. So if I want chicken soup, I'll boil off the chicken, bring it to a boil. And if I want some kale in my soup, what I'll do is I'll puree the kale, and then I'll pour the raw kale in the soup and let it cook until it's done. Or I'll puree the tomatoes or the diced tomatoes, and that'll go in the pot. So I have some thick soup with lots of vegetables in it and meat, because I'm a meat person. So that's what I've been doing and making my soups, and they work for me. I'll even puree green beans and throw it in the pot to think it thicken up my soup. I'll just puree different things so I'm not chomping down on diced potatoes and diced carrots and diced celery. And I want the flavors, but I don't want the diced stuff. And I like my soups thick, like a thick stew, but I want it to be soup, vegetable-based. So that's why I will puree my vegetables or blend up my vegetables ever so slightly and pour the blended vegetables in the pot, and that thickens my soup rather than do it like a flour-based thickening or, what do you say, different types of thickenings. So that's how I do my soup. And this is soup time for me, especially winter. It's soup time for me. So we've got 108 days before spring. That's a long time. That's a very long time, seeing as I haven't unpacked from totally from August and going to the retreat that I went to in Malibu. And I am so blessed to have been able to go to that retreat, even though I hadn't planned on going to the mountaintop. And I was shocked after I paid my money for the retreat that I was going to go up this ledge to get to the mountaintop. But I went, and I feel blessed that I had an opportunity to go, because with the fires in Malibu, there is no more campsite where we had the retreat. The retreat was lost to fire, okay? But I came across a letter that I wrote to myself, because I had promised myself. I went up there, I think, in 1996, the year I had gotten sober. And I went up to the retreat, and I didn't like going up that cliff, that mountain's cliff, to get to the top. And I had vowed that when I came down from the top of that mountain, I would never make that trip again. Well, it just so happens that this was a new mountaintop, a new cliff, and I thought I was going somewhere totally different, but I wound up at the top of a mountain again. And the power and the energy up there was so overwhelming that it floored me. I was afraid to even go to any of the overlooks, because I was afraid, it was a respectful fear, that the energy would just encompass me and I would just make a floating trip over the edge and I would never return home. And so that was the feeling that I got when I went up there, because, you know, when you make a promise to yourself, you're supposed to keep that promise to yourself, because there's a reason you made the promise to yourself in the first place. So in one of the workshops while I was there, we were encouraged to talk about our shining days and to write a letter to someone special in our life. And I decided to write my letter to me. And the reason why I decided to write my letter to me is because I felt I owed me an apology for breaking a promise. Now, some people may think that's strange, but if you can't trust yourself, then who can you trust? And if you go around breaking promises to yourself, well, that's not a good thing. Well, I had broken this promise to myself that I would never go up there and challenge the power and the strength of the energy of the mountaintop. And in essence, I had broken this promise. So I wrote this letter to myself. And in this letter, I said, "Dear me, in 1996, I promised you, you would never, ever challenge the energy of going to the mountaintop. Please forgive me for breaking that promise to you. For once again, here you are, faced with the challenge of being in the energy of the mountaintop. In your finding forgiveness for this promise I have broken, I ask that you please comfort me and find it in your heart to enjoy this great adventure we have embarked upon. Enjoy the people, embrace them all, and when you return home safely, share all you have learned as you grow the person the ancestors have chosen to inherit your aspect of the family's legacy. You see, we come here to learn and grow. What we learn, we will take home tomorrow. And so it is." And with that, I ask forgiveness. And once I did that, honestly, I was able to enjoy that trip immensely, because all the while I was up there, I was really, really, really focused on a fear that I did not belong there, because I promised myself that I would not ever do this again. And once I wrote this letter to myself, and you can write a letter to yourself about a lot of things, you know, write a letter to yourself to grow you into something that you want to become. You can write a letter asking someone to forgive you that is no longer alive today. And once you ask for that forgiveness, you can put that letter in an envelope and address it to the hereafter, wherever you are, blah, 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 blah. You can put the person's name on it, but you don't put a return address and you don't put a stamp on it. No, you do put a stamp on it. You don't put a return address. You seal the envelope, you put a stamp on it, and you mail it. And that's your way of intending to ask forgiveness of someone that is no longer alive, something that you may feel responsible for with regards to them. You know? So with all of that, we may as well go ahead and, as we're coming to the close of another year, it's time for us to begin work towards our New Year's resolutions. You know, we have these, we do these. Do we keep them? Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. So we continue on this journey of house cleansing, the house of human nature. This is what we started 3 shows ago with Kryon and the house of human nature. Well, it's also past time for us to wake up, from those negative nightmares of self-destructive thinking and focus on learning how to love ourselves and practice our self-care instead. Your character is designed by your values, and your core values are the result of your behavior. Now, this great philosopher Aristotle said it best. Men acquire a particular quality by constantly acting in a particular way. So let us see what values are defining our character and controlling how we think of ourselves. Okay? I can't list all the values on the face of this earth because there's quite a few of them. You know, as a matter of fact, I saw a list one day, and it listed over 400 values. So you have to pick and choose the values that you feel comfortable for you. I'm just going to name a couple, and let's talk about these values. Your core values are the result of your behavior, okay? For example, when you always tell the truth, you become an honest person. It's as simple as that. And yet we collectively underestimate the importance of values. Now, I'm one for honesty, and I will tell my truth always. And my truth may not be somebody else's truth, but I will tell the truth and speak the truth as I perceive it or as I see it. And, of course, someone else doesn't have to see it my way, so they will speak their truth. But that does not mean either one of us is wrong. We are correct when we are viewing that which we are viewing from our vantage point. It's like that that old proverb or that old story about the six blind men, and they were each had their hand on an elephant, and one was at the legs, and he said, oh, no, this is a big tree trunk. Another one was the tail. He said, no, this is a thick cord over here. And another one was at the ear and said, oh, this is a huge fan, you know. So our truth is our truth based upon how we are perceiving it and what vantage point. So we're all right depending upon the vantage point we're looking at what is to be held as our truth, okay? Values have a great impact on our inner world. They define us, and they form the foundation for our character. And since you have to live with yourself, your values should be one of the most important things in your life. But what if you don't have values? And I would find that very hard to believe that there's anyone on the face of this earth that don't have, that have 0% values. Or what if you've never thought about setting your own core values? Now, that can be something that's true. There are great risks involved with living without values. You risk becoming a faceless human that becomes indistinguishable from every single other faceless person that has ever lived. And before you know it, you adopt the values of other people. Now, that's how we become dependent on our parents, friends, our spouses. You can't let your identity depend on the identity of someone else. That's why it is very important to sit down and define your own personal core values to get things straight for yourself. Once you know who you are in life, you stop thinking and trying to be who you are not. That gives you tranquility. Okay, here are some examples of values. Like I said, I saw a list with 400 of them. I just chose a couple. Authenticity. Be the same person in every occasion in life. Don't act differently in front of your parents, friends, coworkers, in-laws, and strangers. Stay your true self and never be afraid of other people's judgments. Truthfulness, honesty. This is one of my major core values. Tell the truth always, especially when it comes to your own life. You don't have money? Don't pretend that you're wealthy. Never went to college? Own it. Be honest with who you are and what you've done, you'll be able to look at yourself in the mirror with pride. And like I said before, if you can't trust yourself, who can you trust? You know, and you know when you're lying to someone or you're lying about something. Yourself knows this. So, who are you trying to fool? You? Joyfulness. Life is short. Do things that bring you joy. And never do something you hate for longer than is necessary. Enjoy the small things. Music, other people. Working out, I'm going to start seeing if I can do something with this yoga thing. Walking, I used to love to walk. You walk and you look at the sky and you look at the trees, and in the fall you can, or the spring, you can see the nests of the birds all up in there. They're hiding from the by the leaves, but when it's spring and when it's fall, there are no leaves on the trees. See, enjoy just laying down or reading. Reading a book. Enjoy watching TV. When this show is over, I'm going to watch Dancing with the Stars. The Children. I love that show. I love the dances. I wish I had taken ballroom dancing, you know. Curiosity. What about curiosity? Get to the bottom of everything that you do. Not because you must, but because it's fun to know things. Life is fascinating. You would want to acknowledge it and then try to understand it. But leave it at trying. Some things can't be understood, but you can still admire it. Responsibility. How about that? Own your actions. Own your mistakes. And current life situations. You're in the current life situation because you allow yourself to be there. It's nobody else's fault but our own. Understand what's in your control and fully own it. Don't like something? Then change it. But don't take responsibility for things that are not on your plate. Focus on yourself. What other adults do is not a concern, nor your responsibility. Love. How about building intimate and deep relationships with a few people? Depth matters more than breadth. Spend more time with your spouse or your co-workers or your immediate family. Get to know your siblings on a deeper level. Have two or three friends that you spend your time with. Love your family, even if you don't see them every day. And you can always love people even if you don't like them and you choose not to be in their company. Fearlessness. Do not fear the future. And don't be afraid of what people you don't care about think of you. Only care about what you and the people you love think about you. Everything else is noise. Have dignity. Do the right thing. And don't fear the rest, because what people think about you is really not your business. Loyalty. Even though you might not see your old friends or coworkers or team members or people from your past, once you build a bond with someone, don't break it unless it's necessary. But most importantly, stay loyal to yourself. Never sacrifice your own mental well-being for others. Treat yourself like you treat someone you love. You know, loyalty. I have a friend that I've been knowing since I was 16 and she was 18. My birthday's in February, and every year in February, she remembers my birthday, you know, and sends me a text message, happy birthday. And every single November, on November the 11th, I remember to text her or email her and tell her happy birthday, you know. So there are certain things that we can be loyal to. And I love people. So I remember them. I remember them a long time. And it's something that I enjoy doing by reminding them that I remember them. So remember, your values must be in line with who you are. Never copy someone else's values or search for core values on a list on Google.com. Now, you can Google.com and find that list, but check off on that list those values that are yours, okay? That's not the same thing as copying them so that you can say these are your values. Make sure they're your values. And look inside yourself. Cultivate self-awareness. Find the values that already exist inside of you and strengthen them. When values, thoughts, feelings, and actions are in alignment, a person becomes focused and character is strengthened. Pick your values, stick to them, and watch as your character is formed. Once that happens, you'll never want to be anything else but yourself. Now, with that, for those of you who don't even really think you have any values, there's this rocking chair exercise. Now, you can do this on your own. You can imagine you are very old. Now, you can decide your age, because some of us feel like we're very old already. And you're sitting, relaxing in your rocking chair at home. You're reflecting on your life and thinking about how you have achieved or experienced what is more important to you in your life. And then you start asking yourself these questions. What would you like to be looking back on? What are the highlights that you enjoy reliving? Whose lives have you touched? What difference have you made? What are you proud of? What makes your heart open? What was soul satisfying? How did you fulfill your life purpose? How did you use your unique gifts? Humor, your kindness, your organizational skills, your honesty. What will your legacy be? Thinking about these questions can help you tune into what really matters for you. Consider what the main themes are that emerge for you. What does this mean about your core values? These core values exercises are perhaps the most important self-awareness exercises for you to do. They really tap into what you could call your underlying life purpose. Do you want to get to the end of your life and regret what you might have done that did not reflect your values or utilize your unique gifts? Think about it. And with that, why don't we talk about people who are looking for their core values, but they have an issue with not thinking that they're good enough. You know, there are some of us out there that just don't feel that we're good enough. We're not a good enough human being. We're not a good enough person. And what would make you think such a thing? Because, you actually are good enough, okay? If you're someone who's been brought into your cultures, self-harming programming, causing your inner critic to repeatedly echo words, "I'm not good enough," it's well past time for you to wake up from that nightmare of negative, self-destructive thinking and focus on learning how to love yourself and practice self-care instead. How many of us on an occasion say, "God, I wish I was better at that. Wow. I wish I was better at this. I wish I was good enough for that." Well, in her powerful book, A Woman's Worth, this goes for you guys out there too, Mary Ann Williamson wrote, "In our natural state, we are glorious beings. In the world of illusion, we are lost and imprisoned slaves. Our jailer is a three-headed monster. One head is our past, one our insecurity, and one our popular culture." So that's, you know, the folks you see on Facebook and the folks you see on the TV and, you know, the folks that surround you. You may feel ashamed as though you're someone inadequate or bad, and you're likely full of fear. So you keep looking to others to tell you who to be and what to do, comprising yourself and your needs. Did I say comprising? Let me fix my brain. Compromising yourself and your needs along the way. Our culture and your past relationships have hypnotized you to believe that you're not good enough. It's time to stop letting the self-harming thoughts make you feel emotionally and psychologically oppressed. It's time for a paradigm shift. It's time to peel away the layers of your false self and to discover instead your true self. Now, some of you know the poet Rumi. Rumi said, "You are more valuable than both heaven and earth." What else can I say? You don't know your own worth. Do not sell yourself at a ridiculous price. When you don't feel good about yourself, you feel that you are being watched and judged, which increases your sense of not feeling good about who you are. This becomes a vicious cycle in which you are constantly undervalued and shamed by both yourself and others. As an emotion, shame is a reflection that you believe yourself to be worthless, damaged, and no good. And when you feel shame on a regular basis, you begin to behave the way you believe others expect you to. Now, to end this self-harming pattern and stop saying "I'm not good enough" to yourself, here are 10 ways to refocus your thinking and find the value in loving yourself. Connect rather than compare. Comparing yourself to others, whether it's a top model or your coworker or your brother or your sister or your husband or your wife, is a dangerous end. When you compare yourself, you feel undervalued and less than. In order to connect with others, it's imperative that you first know your strengths and positive qualities. Take some time to take a good look at your characteristics and accomplishments and make a list to fully embrace all that you are. Connecting with others can come from something as simple as a smile. Be kind without being submissive. Conversation is a touchstone of connection. You can actually get to know more about yourself through talking openly with others. The experience of intimacy comes about from conversations. In fact, the word intimacy comes from the Latin word intimus, which means innermost. In order for a relationship to be intimate, there needs to be a sharing and disclosing of your innermost thoughts and feelings. Don't agree to things just so that you can avoid conflict and be accepted in the relationship. You can agree to disagree. Everyone has the right to their own perspective and opinion. Oh, boy. Have a dialogue with your inner critic. You know, your inner critic is made up of the negative self-talk that you actually heard from childhood and have internalized. Some common judgments you hear from your inner critic might also come from people you're around on a daily basis, and they might include, don't do that or people won't like you and you will be upset with you. Or you could say, or hear, you need to work harder. What about, you're not smart enough? How about, you're not lovable? It's time to have a dialogue with your inner critic, and there is no power struggle necessary. Remember that your inner critic thinks it's protecting you by keeping you safe and out of trouble, and its good intentions have gone awry. That's that ego self. Choose self-empowering language. When you tell yourself that you should, ought, or have to do, be, or feel something, you are oppressing yourself. Instead, choose to do what you want to do. It's much more empowering, and you feel the freedom that choice gives you. You can break the habit of idealizing your relationships. If things are going wrong and you feel like a failure, try shifting your perspective to see the whole picture. Get a reality check about that, which is your responsible for. Because you see, sometimes when something doesn't work, it means that it's not meant to work, and it means you need to go in a different direction. So don't just give up. Don't let yourself be held back in a relationship that invalidates who you are, and definitely don't let yourself be held back in a relationship that minimizes what you're capable of. Find a community and a partner that will support you for who you are. You know, there's a whole world of communities out there. And one of the things, see, I come from a 12-step background. 12-step programs, AANA, ACOA, 12-step backgrounds, you know, that's your community. If you need one of those, go find your community, you know. So you can't be idealizing relationships that don't work for you. Find a community where you can be supported. Stop over-identifying with circumstances. You are more than your mistakes. You are more than your income. And you are more than your body type. For example, if you fail the test, that doesn't mean you're a failure. If you're having a hard time finding a job, that doesn't mean you're a loser. So don't let these perceived roadblocks weigh on your feelings of self-worth. Be authentic. I love this one. In his book, How to Raise Your Self-Esteem, this guy, Nathaniel Brandon, tells us, the lies most devastating to our self-esteem are not so much the lies we tell as the lies we live. We live a lie when we misrepresent the reality of our experience or the truth of our being. Brandon confronts us, stating that when you choose to be someone you're not, you're doing it because you think the real you is unacceptable. He also offers some questions to how to help you explore the challenges of being authentic and realizing you're enough. Okay? So some of the questions he has the blank at the end. The hard thing about being honest with myself about what I'm feeling is blank, fill in the blank. The hard thing about being honest with others about my feelings is blank, fill in the blank. If I strive to be true and accurate in my communications, what happens? Fill in the blank. Okay? Practice being present. Being in the present and giving your full attention to yourself and the other creates an optimum environment for your relationship to deepen. Be responsive, not reactive. Allow yourself to receive. A relationship is never all about one person and getting their approval. Let your relationships be about you too. A close relationship with someone who truly cares about you actually strengthens your healthy sense of self and self-value. Now, there's a whole lot more to being in the present than just that. When I'm doing this broadcast, I'm being in the present and I'm here and now. I'm not thinking about what I want from the supermarket when I get off the air because I need to go to the supermarket, but it's getting dark outside. I don't think about that. I don't think about what happened yesterday unless I'm going to reference it in my broadcast. When I'm at work and I'm in that warehouse, I don't think about, I'll be glad when this is over and I can go home. I'm there for the moment, I'm focused on what I'm doing, and I dare anybody to say, what time is it? Oh, is it taking, oh, the drivers are taking so long to come in. I don't know what time it is. I won't know what time it is until I'm finished my work, then I see what time it is and I know how long I've been there. But I'm not going to monitor the clock because when I'm here, I'm here. And when I'm there, I'm there. And trust me, when I'm here, I'm not thinking about my job. That's why I have the job that I have, because there was a time when I was at my job, and when I went home, my job went home with me. And when I woke up, my job was on my brain. No, 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 not anymore. When I finish with those boxes at my job is done. When I get in my vehicle, I'm on my way home. I don't think about being home. I think about me being in my vehicle and looking at the lights of the cars around me and that kind of thing. When I'm here, I'm here. So it's really key to be in the moment, to be in the present, and practice that all the time. You'll never be miserable. Identify your wants and needs. Needs are usually something that is important to you, whereas wants are preferences and not quite as important as needs. Conflicts arise when two people want different things. If you don't feel good enough, you may not value yourself enough to see your wants as important. So remember, you may be confused and think that one of your needs is just an unimportant want. Then you may dismiss your need as not important enough. So you won't ask for what you need, and you will feel threatened to speak up for yourself because you fear the other will leave you. Really? So love and accept yourself. Unconditional love means you love yourself no matter what. It means you have unconditional worth. Love yourself without judgment. You are enough. You don't have to be superwoman or superman and have to prove yourself and earn love from yourself or anybody else. You are not love for what you do. You are love for who you are. Having good personal boundaries is an effective way of loving and taking care of yourself. Stop seeking validation and approval from others. Be gentle and compassionate with yourself. And last, practice self-care. When you feel good about who you are and you feel worthy, you naturally take better care of yourself, and self-nurturing is the biggest part of self-care. Take a close look at how you're living. Are you taking time for the things that for the things that bring you joy? Are you eating and moving and feeling healthy and energetic? Are you sleeping enough? If not, it's time to make some serious life changes. Finally, repeat the following statement out loud. I am enough. I have enough. I am worthy. Now go and honor yourself and own your power. That's beautiful. I like that. a lot. So, before we close, I want to bring you some words from our important person, Lena Stevens and the Power Path. I see if we can get her in here in this last 15 minutes. The theme for December, the energy, is chaos. Are y'all ready for this? Chaos. This is a month of transition, and we chose, this is what she chose, chaos as the theme because of what happens when you have many moving parts that are disconnected and have not yet found their place to land. On that, let's get some water. Nothing like wetting that whistle. So, chaos is the astral plane or spirit world revealed without form, where anything is possible if you are willing to let go of resistance and use your creativity wisely to arrange those moving parts into something you want. This is the realm of the artisan, one of the coming influences for 2019. And it can either be incredibly innovative and forward-thinking or highly destructive. So, you will have to pay very close attention to how you want this energy to play out in your life. Chaos often brings with it resistance, fear of losing control, confusion, physical discomfort, anxiety, and an instinctive reaction to pull back and hunker down into old patterns that are familiar. And I bet you that's the first thought all of you had when I said December is going to be about the energy of chaos. Chaos also brings with it an excitement and anticipation of something new, a change, progress, and creativity. Obviously, we want to stay out of resistance and focus more on the anticipation of something new part, correct? There are two major influences at play this month. One is the stabilizer that wants us to organize and stabilize the chaos and get back into control of our lives. The stabilizer is an important influence as it can help us somewhat, it can keep us somewhat grounded, practical, and focused. All right. However, it has a negative side that can also get us stuck in old patterns, not able to move on, and this will not feel good. The other is the destabilizer that supports chaos and wants to keep us moving those parts that are disconnected until the time when it is clear where they should land. The destabilizer influence is important as it helps us break down what needs dissolving, as well as keeping those moving parts from solidifying too soon. The negative aspect of the destabilizer influence is that it can cause overly impulsive behavior that is destructive instead of constructive. Your task and real work this month is to keep these two influences working together in a balanced way so you can creatively make the changes you need to make without jeopardizing your sanity. Now go ahead, try to stabilize and destabilize at the same time. This is like so fascinating. How are you going to do that? How are you going to do that? If you have felt confused lately, you are not alone. If you have felt a non-specific anxiety in your body, you are not alone. If you have felt a desire for change but can't quite orchestrate it, you are not alone either. This has been a challenging time for most people. Most of us are limping into December feeling pushed to our limit of what we can handle. But just know that everyone has been in the same reality swamp, just waiting for a clear way to move on down this swampy river. If you have done your work over these past months, now you know we've been with Lena since January of last year, and you have been doing your work over these past months in facing important truths, healing your deepest emotional wounds, practicing flexibility, forgiving the past, and letting go of your attachments, then you will be in good shape to handle the present opportunities. However, if you are behind in your spiritual homework, then you may have a little work to do before the universe opens a clear path for you. So how do you handle this month in the best way possible? When faced with chaos, it is important not to get lost in drama and lack of focus. Use discipline to keep unnecessary chaos out, such as chaos and drama belonging to someone else. And be careful not to invite unnecessary chaos in, such as adding something to your plate that you know is going to increase your level of stress, confusion, and overwhelm. It is a good discipline to learn to say no to that which is an energy leak. It is also helpful to stay focused on the priorities that are not overwhelming. Keeping good boundaries is a must. Break the larger projects and tasks into smaller steps and handle one thing at a time. You can still focus on the bigger picture to keep your level of inspiration up, but give yourself the time, space, and focus to accomplish them bit by bit. It is also very important to stay out of resistance to chaos and to see it as a necessary landscape to get to know, so you can rely on its positive aspects of creative manifestation when the time comes. Chaos always brings an opportunity for change and restructuring. Think of what happens when you remodel. The old form gets destroyed. Some elements are kept. Some are tossed. New construction makes quite a mess, and you have to live with the compromises to your comfort for a time. But when it is complete and new elements are brought in and incorporated into the old, you have something that is upgraded and better. One way to work with chaos this month is to focus on what needs upgrading in your life, and then take advantage of the chaos to do some restructuring of your habits, schedule, environment, and goals. And make sure you stay out of fear. It won't solve anything. Now, how is this going to show up in your life personally? Well, Lena says this month will be different for everyone. Some of you are good with chaos, especially creative types, but those who are not will need to adapt, adjust, and become more familiar with accepting of this landscape. Beware of trying to control that which feels out of control by projecting on to others your discomfort. When the going gets tough, we often look for something or someone to blame for the way things are not working out. This is a trap and will only lead to misunderstandings and negative reactions. So take responsibility for your own process and refrain from judgment, and blame. Situations this month are mostly going to be nobody's fault. They are just what they are. Personally, you have an opportunity to reset and recreate yourself, your container that supports your life, your attitude, and your environment. Take the truths that come up last month, last year, tomorrow. Take those truths and use the chaos and destabilization to break through at last, to break through any last resistance to what needs to change. Take the truths that came up last month and use the chaos and destabilization to break through any last resistance to what needs to change. Trust that the confusion and discomfort you feel will pass as clarity makes its way into your field. So things are going to be clear. You just got to know how to handle it. Instead of pushing for clarity on the bigger issues, accept the clarity on the smaller ones and take action to stabilize what is ready to show up. These could be those little bits, those small tasks that may even feel insignificant, but they are all steps along the way. Acknowledge that you may be in a very different state of mind and experience than someone else. It is important to allow others to be where they are without judgment and to not take things personally around any attempt to drag you into unnecessary chaos and drama. You will have enough of your own. So, with that, relax. We're going to take a chill pill, and we're going to watch the chaos around us, and we're going to let it fall wherever it falls. And we will be able to fix a little bit of this or a little bit of that if we see that we can. If we see that we can't do anything about it, we're not stepping in it. You know, don't step in other people's poop, you know, unless you know what you're doing, because you have your own poop that you're standing in, you know, and it's time for us to start cleaning our side of the street. Don't worry about somebody else's garbage across the street over there. You have your own garbage that you have to clean up, and that's a fact. So with that, I'm going to say good night. I had a good time. I hope you did, too. So, when are we going to meet again? December what? I think it's December 16th. That's when we'll meet again. And it'll be almost time for the holidays, the for real holidays. Christmas, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, you know, the holidays. Take care, stay blessed, and this is Duchess signing out. Love you. Thank you.
Thank you.